Good morning. Glad you guys are here. How's everyone doing? Perfect? No problems? All right. Let me give you some up here. All right. We're going to continue our series in Luke. And Luke, we're looking at it this year from the big picture perspective. So I want to talk a little bit about boundaries today because that's what Jesus is going to talk about when he's dealing with the people that are following him. Let me start with this, that your life, my life, is defined by the boundaries we set. And it's not defined by how you define yourself. It's defined by the boundaries in which you live in. Some of us live in very, very thin bowling alley boundaries with, you know, the bumpers on the side, except they're really tight. And others of us have no boundaries, and we've concreted in every boundary in the whole place. And so our ball is smashing into everybody else's, and their balls are smashing into ours when they bowl, and we have no idea. We're not even sure where the pins are. We're not sure of the game, and we just live crazy. And your life will reflect those boundaries, whether we're super tight, whether we're broad and they're messed up. God's desire is to create boundaries in our lives that are healthy for us and a blessing to others, where I can stay in my lane and not be in everybody else's lane. And they can stay in theirs, and we can actually bowl together. Does that make sense? For you bowling fanatics, which of which I don't think we have any in here. But at some point in your life, you did bowl. Who has bowled in their life? Who has broke 100? All right. We got some ballers, shot callers, whatever he was saying up there. So one of the boundaries we need to talk about today is the boundary of limitations. You need to understand, I need to understand that my knowledge has limitations. I don't know everything. In fact, I don't know everything about anything. I know some about a lot. And some of our information that we keep replaying over and over again is bad information, but we hold on to it. And we keep getting the same results we've always had because we don't and are not open to new information. I have blind spots. You have blind spots. Everybody has blind spots. It's just part of being human. It's one thing to have a blind spot, and it's another thing to be blind on purpose. I don't want any more information. I won't receive any information. It's the typical 12, 13-year-old response to life. Appreciate it. I already know. I already know. It's like a 4-year-old. They never done it before, but they know. They know how to do it. And some of us take that into our adult life. And so this is the problem. The problem is if I am not open to new information, I am doomed to keep repeating what I always repeat. I am going by information that is inadequate, at best, kind of true, at worst, way off. The key to following Jesus is to be open to new information. And see, for many of us, we believed at points in our life that God's word, the Bible, was bad information. It was against us. It was not for us. The boundaries he wants to set with that, God wanted to set with that, are boundaries that hinder my life, that mess up my life, rather than boundaries that help my life. And as I mature into my faith, I begin to realize, oh, These boundaries that I once called bad are actually good. This new information I can receive rather than reject all the time. And see, even if I, and we all have a belief of God of some kind. We put God either in a small box, a little bit bigger. We put limits on what we think God should allow in our lives and limits of what he shouldn't allow, the way God should do things. And if he really was a good God, why was this allowed in my life? And we have all these ideas about God, and we put that on everyone else too. How many of us in our relationships thought, you know what? My relationships would be just great if they would all change, and that's the information I hold on to. And I bring that to God, and if you just change them, God, in fact, that's my prayer. In fact, I'm really disappointed you're not really moving in that. Because I got a boundary on you. And I'd be okay if everybody else got okay. I'm telling you right now, bad information. You are holding on to bad information. Here's some good information for you. You know the most difficult person you will ever experience in your life? Is you. You're the problem. I reject that information, Joe. Satan, back away from my life. That's good information right there. I'm the most difficult person I will ever come in contact with. I'm amazed at what I do. Sometimes I'm even shocked. And I've shared it with you guys many times. I can't believe how many people come into my office, tell me what they do, and then tell me right after telling me what they do, they say, but that's not me. And my question always to them is, well, then who is it? Because it sounded like you said you did it. They have information mix up. And we hold on to things that we ought not to. And when God wants to expand our information, because see, when the more information we have, the more our capability is to live differently. And it's not just the information. To be expanded and to live differently, to change and grow, I have to actually apply that. Then I find out how difficult that is. Why? Because I'm the most difficult person I know. So to do difficult things is really difficult for me. And besides that, I have the information that I hold on to that if it's difficult, I should quit. How many have ever had that information? Speaking to them. Oh, that's too hard. Before I even start it, I've already got the information. That's too hard. How many of you? No, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. How do you know it ain't going to work? I just know these things. Because I tried something. Tried? What does trying mean? Some things we can try at. You know, you can try to fly once. But other things, trying is failing oftentimes. It's doing that moves me forward. Trying just gives me the information that I'm not good at it yet. I'm not good at doing this. Because some of us think we should be good at everything right off the get-go. I should be good at that, especially when it comes to relationship stuff. Why is that? I don't know. There's no other discipline in all the earth where anybody just steps in and they're really good at it. It's amazing. I'm a journeyman already and I've never even done it. Today is the first day. I am amazing. No, you invest in it. But it's weird when it comes to God oftentimes. We don't need to invest in any of that. I don't need to read his word. I know. I understand who God is. No, that's a God of your understanding. That's a problem. I understand how relationships should work. How do you understand how they should work? Well, see, if you just get the right person, and you are the right person, and there's chemistry there, should work. Really? What have you done to invest in it? And I counsel married couples on a regular basis, and it's like, this is the deal. I oftentimes ask them, what have you done to invest in your marriage? What new information have you gained on doing relationships? Well, you know, we did try counseling, but I didn't like the counselor. How many times did you go? I said, well, twice. I go, man, do you understand in counseling, it takes about four times before you even start getting honest, before you start to get real? That's what you say. It's like, what books have you read? What have you done to invest? See, I know we're a recovery church, so people are in different areas of recovery in their life, but if you're recovering from a substance, you got to invest in that. And then you begin to find out that's hardcore, and the information that I have to process the way I do life, that has to change. I have to get new information. So if you want to be more capable in any area of your life, you have to invest in gaining information on that new information. And that's how it works in the kingdom of God and in every other aspect of our lives. We have to become students. I'm so glad we're doing a parenting class. Because a lot of us parent, I will never be like my parents. I will never. So you go the opposite end. You go the opposite way. Our family, like when we raised our kids, we were not big on having candy in the house. We are not big on having sweets. In my family, every dinner finished with ice cream. Every dinner. There was ice cream. I don't know if it's an Italian thing or I don't know what it is. I didn't have that information. I just knew that's what we did. And me, I'm not that big of an ice cream fan, but some of my brothers and sisters were big. Some of them just like parts of the ice cream. Like all the chocolate chips, they would dig around. Rocky Road, all the marshmallows. There's the information. So what happened? I marry a woman who they didn't have any sweets in their house. And they're all about salads. My family wasn't sure what a salad was. Because we had vegetables in cans. We did too. Green beans and peas. It's like, oh my God. Then we top it off with tuna casserole. And, yeah. So needless to say, I hate fish. I hate vegetables. No, I love sushi. But, so we marry and we bring in our information to our family. And, so my daughter, we don't have much sweets in our house. Hardly ever. And now we have more because we just gave up. And we got grandkids now, so they're going to grow up anyway, so whatever. But I don't know where I'm going with that. But it's information for you. Oh, I know where I was going with that. So one of my daughters... We didn't have sweets. Guess what they had full of in their pantry? Sweets! Because she wasn't going to keep her kids away from sweets. Because that was new information. See, sometimes new information and good information. It's just we bounce to the other end of the spectrum. My parents were too hardcore. I will be super loose. There's always this stuff going on until God starts to set solid boundaries. And your journey with the Lord requires you to gain new information, to be open to it. Hey, let me ask you this question. What does it feel like to be wrong? What does it feel like to be wrong? No. Anybody been wrong? What'd you have a feeling on that? Because some of us have pushed our feelings away so far, it's like, what? What does it feel? Awkward? Embarrassed, shameful, foolish. What else? Embarrassing, humbling. Okay, that's what it feels like to be wrong. That's not what it feels like to be wrong. What feels like to be wrong is when you first know that you're wrong. Because up until that moment of knowing I'm wrong, I always thought I was right in that. I thought that was right. Now I realize it's wrong. Now that information I have to do something with. And so I have to deal with that. So new information will be oftentimes embarrassing, awkward, feel shameful. If when I was wrong and I was shamed for it, I will feel shame. I will not be able to look at the situation. In my growing up, I took a lot of what was criticism, I took it as value on my life. I had to learn to look at, I am a flawed human being, and I do good things. We live in that and place. I'm a good husband, and I make mistakes. I'm a pastor, and I make mistakes. When I was able to grow and get enough information to realize that God loves me and I am secure in Christ, it is not a judgment on my value as a human being. I began then with that information to open up and go, well, okay, I do have flaws. So what is that thing? Instead of that flaw being me, it's a flaw I need to deal with. And I need to gain information if I don't know how to deal with that flaw, rather than I can't look at any critique in my life, I can't accept anything, I'm super defensive. And in my life, you know, if it used to be if Tree said something, it caused a lot of conflict in our relationship in the early years, is she would say something about something in my life. Joe, you don't listen very well. You know what? Totally true. And I'd look at her and I'd go, well, you ain't perfect either. And then we start the circle of fighting. Nobody can admit nothing. Nobody. Why? Because we were both wounded kids. And you know what? I can't take any more. Every word negative was another stab at me. And then as God starts to heal us with new information, I become open to looking at things differently. And that's what changes in our life. That's what changes us. And then when I begin to realize that I am wrong about hundreds of things, I don't know anything thoroughly. Nobody does. Nobody has complete understanding of anything. That's why one of the key concepts of walking with God is humility, humbleness, knowing I'm okay, but I don't know everything. And if I gather information from God, I begin and I start to apply that, however that is. When the Bible says, you know, share your faults with one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Oh, so part of healing is sharing. Revealing is the precursor to healing. I always had the information, don't share nothing. And you're giving me this new information? Ooh, how do I accept that? How does that work? Do I just blab to anybody I see? Is that the way it is? Because that's what I did when I was a Christian. It was like, you know, share the word. Okay. I'm on fire. Anything you said, I'm looking to wedge Jesus in there. How can I get in there? I'm not even listening to what you say, man. You're a project to me. And I got to get you saved, you know. That worked great, about as great as a guy down at the beach screaming at everybody. He gets a lot of hearers that way. I go, do you really think you're helping the cause? You're just making everybody mad. You're making my job over here a lot harder. Now I got to overcome yours. And please take the sign down. It's annoying. You're not helping us. You know, the heart might be right. The information's bad. So when I begin to understand that, Knowledge increases understanding and gives insight that I previously didn't possess. You want to grow in any area of your life? Get new information. You want to grow in your Christianity? That's why reading the Word is so important. It gives us information we didn't have. And when I receive that information, my life starts to change. Like Scripture says what? Bad company corrupts good character. My old Joe, lie! I can hang around any, nothing affects me. My capabilities are amazing. God's word is a mistake there. Bad company will never corrupt my character. Till I started to believe that's true. It does. Because there are other issues. And it's really bad if you're a people pleaser. Anyhow, so new information caused that. So we have blind spots. My hope for us today and here is that in our blind spots, we will understand one of two things. One, that I do have blind spots, and they're not intentional. It's just being a human being. And I have information that I've held on to that I know it might be partially true, but I need more information to be effective. So I move way ahead. And others times we are blind on purpose. I will not receive any new information. I have what I believe, and that's the way it is, and that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I reject all that which dooms me to keep repeating what I've already repeated many times. I just think I might approach it a little bit different this time. Same information, thinking I'll have a different outcome. So Jesus is going to deal with the religious people at this point. The backdrop will be in Luke 11. And the backdrop to that is Jesus has been ministering for about 2 years now. He's at the height of his popularity with, hey, never mind. I just saw somebody I haven't seen in a long time. If you ever want to be seen by me, move into the first five rows. Because I have information, my eyes are bad, I ain't buying it. Anyhow, Jesus has been ministering for 2 years now. And he's at the height of his popularity with regular people. They are hearing information they've never heard before. They are seeing miraculous signs, and they are seeing people being healed. And although the Gospels only recount 36 miracles, Jesus was doing miracles pretty much on a daily basis. In fact, John tells us in his Gospel that if we recorded everything he did, there wouldn't be enough books for it. He was just doing amazing, miraculous things. He was speaking messages that were blowing their mind and giving them information they didn't have. So you had that group that were amazed and initiating faith into this person. There's something special about him. Is he the Messiah? He must be from God. So they were at that place. You had another group who were the religious leaders, whose boundaries on what God would do and how God would do it and when he would do it were very limited. And Jesus was operating outside of that. Even though he was giving them regular information, breaking the scripture down in a way they've never heard that kind of information before, didn't agree with their teaching and all their learnedness in their religion, and they were rejecting it. In fact, in this particular chapter, he delivers a demon, and they said, oh, the only reason he can do that is Satan's doing it. It ain't even from God. It's from Satan. And so he addresses that. And so those guys were getting the information. They were seeing what was going on, absolutely rejected it. It had nothing to do with them. Then there was a third group of people there hearing this information, seeing all that Jesus, same thing, all they were seeing everything else, and they kept asking for more signs. Oh, that's good, but what else you got? What else? I'm not sure. I can't really, make a decision here. And so Jesus was dealing with this, and we pick up this story in Luke chapter 11, verse 29, when the crowds are pressing in. There are so many people, and there's three groups in that I just explained to you. And he says this to them. He says, as the crowd, verse 29, as the crowds pressed in on Jesus, he said, this evil generation keeps asking me to show them a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of Jonah. What happened to him was a sign to the people of Nineveh that God had sent him. What happens to the Son of Man will be a sign to these people that he was sent by God. In fact, Nineveh's blindness, and the thing we need to know right from that passage is, how many know the story of Jonah? Jonah was sent to Nineveh, which was the capital of a country called Assyria. Assyria was a pagan country, not Jews at all, Gentiles. Jesus' main ministry was to Jews, but he compares them. He says, you're evil because you get all this information that I'm giving you. But the Ninevites, they got no miracles. They got nothing. In fact, I sent them a prophet who didn't want to go to them because the Assyrians were vicious to the Israelites. In fact, crucifixion is attributed to the Assyrian nation. That these guys were masters of cruelty, masters of torture. And when they came against the Israelites, they severely persecuted them, tortured them, did all these things. And then Jonah says, listen, God, why would you have compassion on those evildoers to your people? No, 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 God, you need to judge them. So I will not go there and tell them that you care for them. And if they repent, you won't judge them. I will not do it. Okay, let's take that to our lives. Many of us in here have been deeply wounded by people who were supposed to love us, take care of us, be in relationship with us. We have our histories. We have our own Assyrians. And some of us carry that information, and that thing judges us. And because God allowed it and hasn't judged them yet, and they even seem sometimes to flourish, or they might even be dead now, and I am bitter, and I am hurt, and this thing ain't right, and I will never, you know, what kind of God are you? Well, God, in that whole scenario, God told Jonah this in Jonah 4, verse 11. He said to him, should I not? He's given him new information about who God is. Jonah, see, Jonah had his own information. He had his own belief system he was running on. He had his own belief system that what I believe about God is the way God is. And God says to him, hey, Jonah, should I not, as God who created all people, should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh? Should I not care about them too? Even though they were highly wicked and mean and evil towards you? In which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. And also many animals. He goes, should I not have some compassion on these people who are so blinded? They are so blinded in the way they do life that they can't tell their left hand from their right hand, which means they can't tell right from wrong. They don't know what's right and wrong. Oh my gosh, that's a lot like us. Oftentimes, we couldn't tell what's right and wrong. Oh sure, people might have told us what's right and wrong. We didn't buy it. We made up our own way of right and wrong. He goes, should I not care for those people too? And Jonah's response was, absolutely not. I don't want that. In fact, I'm going the opposite direction. You want me to go that way? Ha! Now, none of us have rebelled, but that's what rebellious people do. They go opposite from what they're being told. OK, because they don't buy the info. They don't think it's valuable to them. So he left. He got swallowed up by a fish. You guys know the story. Comes fish 3 days later in the belly. So he basically died, was buried in the belly, and resurrected again. He gets spit out into Assyria. He heads to Nineveh. I don't know what he looked like. Probably pale. I don't know all the, but he started, he didn't do any miracles. He did no miracles in Assyria. He just told them what happened to them. Well, I mean, happened to him. And he said, if you guys don't change and accept the God I'm telling you about, you're going to come under judgment from that God. And believe me, I don't want to be doing this. I'd much rather you burn. I'm adding that part. But he said, and these people believed. And they turned to Jonah's God and said, forgive us. And God did not destroy that city. Jesus was telling the group he was with, he goes, you evil people, I've done 1,000 times more than Jonah ever did for the Assyrians. All he did was tell them his testimony, and that's why your testimony is important. It opens way more doors to faith than beating them up with the Bible. He says, I did way more. My boundaries in reaching you has been way more. And you refuse. You want more to believe. He goes, the Ninevites, and it'll share it a little bit later in scripture, will stand up at the day of judgment and condemn you. We believed with far less. And you got far more. And you still rejected the information. You'll have no standing. You're evil. And that's what Jesus was saying to him. You're evil. Now you fast forward that 2,000 years. You and I have way more information than that. We have way more information. We have miracles that happen regularly here. We have all these things taking place. Yet some people still reject the information. That's in the big picture. Then we squaddle it down. Squaddle it down. What is that? That word just came out. I think it completely bypassed my brain. Here's an interesting word. They did something to it to shrink it down. We shrink it down to some area in our lives. We don't accept God's big picture of how to heal us and how to direct us in life. Therefore, and you can pretty much look at other areas of our life. We've rejected information in multiple areas of our life that would prove to benefit us if we would receive it. It starts with the big picture. You connect with God. Everything else, the God who made you, starts correcting it. And he will use people to do it. He will use his word to do it. The Holy Spirit comes in. He will direct us. There's a reason God the Father calls himself Father. Because we need a lot of reparenting. It is interesting also that the Holy Spirit is referred to by Jesus as a hen wanting to gather the chicks together. So there's that feminine motherly aspect of God where he comes and nurtures us and teaches us and trains us and desires to lead us into all the right things. And then there's Jesus, our eldest brother, who has come to save the younger brothers and sisters. And bring us back who are lost into the family of God. And he's called our eldest brother. And he also says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. See, the win with Jesus is Jesus. Oh, Joe, I got such bad circumstances. Do you got Jesus? Yeah, well, you're going to be okay then. You're going to be okay. I need God to do a miracle. If he doesn't, you're still okay. You know, I remember my son. I remember he was sober, and then he told me this one day. He goes, Dad, I got sober because mom wanted me to and you wanted me to and, you know, all these other things were going on in my life. And he goes, you know what? And obviously I didn't know he was thinking about going back out, but he was thinking, Dad, and he told me, Dad, I want to be sober when I want to be sober, when it's me wanting to be sober. And I said, I understand, Gabe. I get it. I get it. But listen, you don't get the choice always to have the consequence you want. You get to, and we taught our kids this from the time they were small. You, as you get older, you have more and more freedom. You can do anything you want. You can hide a lot of stuff. But the thing you don't get to choose is always the consequence. So you're thinking that you can go and jump in this field again and come out of it when you're ready and your information all lines up and you don't get that consequence. And the truth is, he didn't. And the one time when he went out after 2.5 years, he died of an overdose. He didn't get to choose that consequence. You know, that was the consequence. Now, he loves the Lord. He had that information. Jesus said he'd never leave him nor forsake him. He believed in God. He was hungry for the things of God. But he was working on bad information. He was working on information that isn't true. We get to choose a lot of things we want to do, but we don't always get to choose the consequence. But the consequences will get way better when we choose rightly and choose well. Things start to change. And so it doesn't always go the way we want. And that's where the information now of God of like, wow. Because some of us are cool when we are bad. Okay, I messed up. What is the consequence? Whatever. I hope it's light. You know, I hope God gives me a freebie. And he does lots of times. But we get that mentality that, you know, there's always tomorrow. There's always another chance. There's always another thing that can happen. And you know what? Sometimes there isn't. But when I choose well with good information, my life progresses in a way that is positive. Bad things will happen because we live in this world and we're flawed and we will make mistakes and we live with flawed people and all that stuff and stuff happens. But God gives us at that point more information and we understand God in a different way than we did before. And we see the sovereignty of God in ways we perhaps didn't see it before. We thought God was really flexible and I could use it, move him like clay in my hand. And he would be cool with it. And then we come to find out, no, he's a shot caller. And he always is the shot caller. And when he calls a shot, it's a shot called. That was pretty good. I like that right there. Share that with the 9 o'clock there. We'll really appreciate it. Then Jesus goes on in his story to tell us and tell them another aspect. Not only was it about Jonah and the Ninevites, these pagan people and cruel people and bad people. He goes to tell them about the Queen of Sheba. And he says, well, the Queen of Sheba, another pagan woman who was the queen of southern Arabia, what we would call now Yemen and southern Arabia. I think there's Ethiopia in there. But she was a big, big deal. She had heard way back in the Old Testament of this guy named Solomon, who was really, really, really wise. And she wanted to go see this. So Jesus uses her as an example. He says in verse 31, the Queen of Sheba will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day. So not only will the Ninevites all stand up and accuse these people of, why didn't you take the information that was given you? The Queen of Sheba will also stand up and point at them and say, what the heck? Scripture says, the Queen of Sheba will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. She says to the people, the Queen of Sheba, she lived about 1,000 miles away from Israel. God help whoever that needs help right there. Or somebody's running, give them quicker speed. I don't. Excuse me a second while I repent. Anyhow, the Queen of Sheba lived about 1,000 miles away from Israel, who was ruled by Solomon. Scripture tells us Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And she had heard about this wisdom. She had heard about his government. She had heard about this because trade routes are all down the Nile River, which they would travel on and all this kind of stuff. So she had heard this information. And it says, so I want to pick up that story. In 1 Kings 10, 1, it says, when the queen of Sheba, so we're going way back in the Old Testament, heard of Solomon's fame, his fame had been well known, which brought honor to the name of the Lord. She had heard about Solomon, and she heard about this guy's God. She was a pagan. They worshiped whatever they worshiped down there. So she wasn't familiar with the God of the Israelites, but she had heard a lot of things. And it says this, she came to test him with hard questions. I'm going to find out what this is all about. She had information. She had heard things, but the beauty of her is she was open to hearing more and seeing if there's something more I should know here. What is going on? That is the attitude we need to have. I know, but I don't know enough. And I need to be open to that. And if there's something I need to change in my life, I need to be open to new information, no matter what this thing tells me. I need to have that kind of bravery. So it says, she came to test him with hard questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a large group of attendants and a great caravan of camels loaded with spices, large quantities of gold and precious jewels. So now think of this, traveling 1,000 miles, that would have taken at least a couple months in that time frame. So that would have cost a lot of money. She would have had to have a portion of the army or the military escort her to protect her. She's a queen. She's a big deal. She was a big deal where she came from. So she would have had all those soldiers. She would have had all the people with the carts and everything else hauling the tents and all the food they would need. And then you would never go visit another dignitary without bringing gifts to them as a sign of respect. So she had all that, and then they had to protect all that. So this entourage, like it says, was huge with all kinds of camels. It cost her to discover new information. You want new information in your life? You want to do things differently? It's going to cost you. You're going to have to step into things that you didn't step into. You're going to have to take time that you didn't take time for before. You're going to have to do some study that you never did. You're going to have to open up your world to things that wasn't open before. She was willing to do that because she had heard. Some of you have come to church today because someone brought you because you've heard of things. You've seen maybe something in their life that they're different than they used to be. You're seeking something more. And sometimes our information that we hold thinks it should be like that. I prayed twice, it all should be better. No. Maybe it's going to require a lot more investment. Because oftentimes with God, the closer you get to God, the farther deep you got to dig in you. Because there's lots of stones and our hearts can be hard in areas, soft in other areas. And God has to soften it all up. Wounding will create callus. And God has to take that callus off. Then the healing, and there's different things in all of our lives that have to be worked on. So she's willing to go there. When she met with Solomon, she talked with him about everything she had on her mind. Everything she had on her mind. She wanted to learn more about leadership. How do you do government? How do you do life? How do you do this? How do you do that? How does these things work? That's how we gain new information. Going to people that are farther ahead of us. Going to God's word, which is from the throne of God. All that information helps and changes us. And it says this. When the Queen of Sheba realized how very wise Solomon was, and when she saw the palace he had built, what he had done, she was overwhelmed. She was also amazed at the food on his tables. How do you guys farm all this? How does that work? Because you remember, she's a queen, so she's in charge of the, you know, much of a government. How do you manage all these things? She was overwhelmed. She was made amazed at the food. She was amazed at the organization of his officials and their splendid clothing. Ooh, the materials you guys use. The cupbearers and the burnt offering Solomon made at the temple of the Lord. Solomon took her to the temple, which he built, the first temple. And she walked in the temple and looked around and saw what was going on. And he saw them performing their religious services. And he probably told her about with the burnt lamb and to take away sin and all this stuff was going on. And she was observing all this. And this information greatly impacted her. She claimed to the king, "Everything I heard in my country about your achievements and wisdom is true. It's beyond what I even thought. I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here and saw it with my own eyes. I had not heard the half of it." You know, when we say you get God and you start walking right, things start to change in your life. You're not eliminated from problems, but you handle them in a different way. You are given strength that is beyond human capacity to deal with tragedies and traumas and just life. But you have Jesus, and that's the thing. Solomon had wisdom that was given to him. Jesus tells those people he was ministering to, "I am the source of his wisdom. I'm the source of that. And you guys still don't receive that information. You're an evil generation. You always want more. You won't receive. So I'm not going to give you anything more except the sign of Jonah." I could finish reading this. Yeah, let's finish it. She goes on to say, "How happy your people must be. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom. Praise the Lord your God who delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king so you can rule with justice and righteousness." Even ruling in justice and righteousness blew her mind. This guy's wisdom enabled him to not be corrupt. Like all the word people I see, all the stuff she dealt with. She goes, "Your God is amazing." And she was open to that. Jesus told the people then, "The only sign you're going to get from now on from me is that I'll be in the belly like Jonah was. I'll be in the grave. I'll be killed. I'll be in the grave. Then I'll rise again. That's the sign. The sign is me." So my last word to you guys is this. If you have Jesus, you have the best. You have the best. He will do miracles. He will speak wisdom. You will get way smarter than you used to be if you start applying things. Your life will change. People will actually look at you. When I tell people my story and they've heard, you know, my story before Jesus and you know, they can't even believe I was that guy. That's a testimony. That's a testimony. And then when you go through things, they can't believe you're going through them. God does this mark, and that information changes. And Jesus said, "Here's the information I'm going to give you. You guys revere Jonah as a prophet. You revere Solomon. I'm greater than them. And you refuse the info. That's going to be rough on you. That's going to be rough. You're not going to receive." So here's my thing today. You have Jesus. Whatever you need, and if it's not answered the way you want it, you still win. You have Jesus. You have Jesus. Stick close to him. You have Jesus. And he's promised to meet all our needs. And some of those needs is to grow. And he is going to meet that need. And you refuse that, he's not bummed out about it. He has his ways. He will deal with that. Why? Because he wants to bless you and he wants to make you a blessing. He wants to use you in our generation. See, this is our generation. Many of us have already been evil. Now he wants to use us to bless where we have been a curse. So can we stand up? See, right off the bat, you took that information and you applied it. I'm dealing with smart people here today. Wise people. So listen, leave this place today. And if you need more prayer, if there's something going on that you need more of Jesus in, Lord, I'm lost. I need more of you. Oh, yeah, I need something to happen work-wise, relationship-wise, my own life, yada, yada, yada. I need that. But what I really need is to see Jesus. See Jesus more right where I'm at, right what I'm in. Because sometimes he feels so far away. He's not. These other things have just carried me away. And God, I need more information. So can I lead you in a prayer? Lord Jesus, if you believe this, go ahead and pray with me. You don't have to say that part. Lord Jesus, I today choose to be more open, to receive more information in the areas I need it. Now, just take a second and identify in your mind an area that you keep running on in the information you have. So God, in this place, I choose today to open myself up to receive more information that I may successfully navigate what I need to navigate. And I know I need more of you. So Jesus, open my eyes to see you with me right in it. I'm not looking for signs and wonders. I'll receive them if you give them. But what's most important to me is that whatever information you give, let me apply it. Let me be open to it. For I know today that I don't know everything about anything. So help me, Jesus. And all God's kids said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day.